Okay, I'm going to be concluding the series, which is Dil Ki Baat, and we've had a four-part series with a break in between for Christmas at our carol service. And today, my subject is Akhri Baat, last word. Five principles for strong and healthy relationships. You know, today we're going to be focusing not just on our relationships with our spouses or, you know, our to-be life partners or whatever else, but we're going to be focusing on relationships across the board. And I'm going to teach you five principles that will help you to maintain healthy and strong relationships. We discovered earlier on that when our relationships work well, every other part of our life works well as well. We also discovered how each of us have the power that has been given to us by God to create relationships. So if you don't like the relationships you have right now, you created them. And so you have the power to reshape, to recreate those relationships that work for you. We also saw some key principles of how the basic needs of our lives, which are, what are the three basic needs every human being has? Self-worth, security, and significance. When those things are met by the right relationship, all our other relationships work and function well as well. And who meets those three fundamental needs primarily? Or ultimately, it needs to be God. All right? And then out of those our needs being met through our relationship with God, we are able to sustain healthy and strong relationships. But also, relationships go through challenges. Friendships. How many of you have friends? Every one of us has friends. How many of you have enemies? Every one of us has enemies. Now, you have friends because you have enemies because at some time you had friends. And how do friends become enemies? Misunderstanding. When something goes wrong, you say something that they misunderstood, or they say something to you and you're deeply offended, or vice versa. So offense is one of the most aggressive things that can ever happen in a relationship. And when offense comes in between friends, it completely destroys even the healthiest and strongest of relationships. When there's a breach of trust, when there is a, you know, disloyalty in friendships, when you know, people uncover you you know, unnecessarily, when people say things behind your back, gossip, when they say that they are good friends. All those kind of things break down our relationships and leave us vulnerable in our friendships. And very often, as human beings, we want to retract and we pull away from establishing good and healthy relationships. Because you've been hurt in one place in a relationship, sometimes you carry over that pain and hurt into every other relationship. But, you know, I discovered these five principles that I've taught for quite a while, and both Naomi and I personally live by these principles. And when we began to make these part of our life, we began to see how our relationships took on a whole different level of commitment, of understanding, of movement and progress. And we've begun to enjoy our relationships in a way that we have never done before. And so if you pick up these five principles and in the new year begin to work them through in your life with your friends, with your family, with the people that you love and care for, you will just discover how easy it is to maintain good and healthy relationships. Friends, somebody said, are like good health. You don't realize what a gift they are till you lose them. And now we have these famous sayings. We have good friends, we have nice friends, we have great friends, we have fair weather friends. You know, we have all different kinds of friends. But here's an interesting couple of people. Two men were out hunting in the northern U.S. Suddenly one yelled and the other looked up to see a grizzly bear charging them. The first started to frantically put on his tennis shoes and his friends anxiously asked, "What are you doing? Don't you know you can't outrun a grizzly bear?" Now, all of us would love not to have a friend like this. I don't have to outrun a grizzly bear. I just have to outrun you. You know, and some of us have friends like that who are our best friends. They camp with us. But when the rubber hits the road, you are standing there alone, stark naked. You know, once I told my old man, nobody likes me, he said, don't say that, everybody hasn't met you yet. All right? So we've got all kinds of friends and friendships that we can have and maintain. But five principles that will help us to develop good friendships. So let's look at these five principles. Malachi chapter 3 verse 16 says, then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditated on his name. It's very interesting that here it seems to suggest that God listens into our conversations. He listens into the relationships that we have, what we say, and how we conduct them. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17 says this, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And so there are friends and friendships that we can have that are strong and will carry us through. So what is the first principle that I want to address? It is the faithfulness principle, okay? The faithfulness principle. What is the faithfulness principle? Faithfulness to a relationship means loyalty to a person. When problems are the primary focus of a relationship, principles are laid aside in order to air differences. The importance of sharing feelings often takes priority over character. Psalm 133 and verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is a verse that we often quote, but it is a verse that we sometimes find very hard to flesh out. So if in the faithfulness principle, what is the commitment that one needs to make when trying to exercise that principle? Faithfulness to our relationship outweighs the importance of any offense between us. Because my relationship with you is so valuable, any offense will outweigh my relationship with you. So you will do anything to put right the offense in order to preserve the relationship. I will not allow any, and the word is any means any, problem to override the principle by which we lived. So in your relationships, when you agree together that whatever the offense is, we will not allow it to override our relationship, it secures you from carrying offenses over and then creating fences that hinder your relationship from flourishing and growing. So the question you got to ask yourself is this. Is this problem, is this offense, is what I heard she said about me or he said about me a threat to our relationship? So what are you saying? What you are saying is this. Is if there is any offense in our relationship and if it is going to be a threat to our relationship, I will seek to deal with the offense because I value my relationship. That's the faithfulness principle. The second principle is the four-day principle. It's resolving conflict preserves friendships. Most of us who have lost friends or friendships or relationships are because we have not either known how to preserve or how to work through conflict, or we have chosen not to resolve conflict. But when we resolve conflict, then we are able to take that friendship forward. I have discovered that my best friends that I have even today and I will have in the future are the friends where we have had an offense, we have had conflict, but we have worked it through. And as a result of choosing to work it through, our relationship is stronger, it is more endurable, more durable, and can go further. So the testing of our faith produces endurance. The testing of our relationships produces strength. And so often we are too afraid in conflict to confront conflict because we are fearful of the consequences, the emotional things, that the entanglements that come with it, the pain sometimes with having to face the reality of whatever may have gone wrong. And we are much more prepared to set aside the relationship than to pick up the conflict and set that aside. And so in the four-day principle, here's what I suggest we do. Offenses between friends are usually spiritually, emotionally, and physically harmful. How many of you have had sleepless nights when you had an offense with somebody? And somebody said something to you that's hurt you. And you carry that hurt. Very often they go to bed quite well because they don't know sometimes that they have hurt you. But you know, and you are dreaming of ways to get back at them. I mean, revenge is the movie you see every evening. You know, what can I do to just inflict a little bit of pain? Just a little comment when I see them. Oh, it's you. Oh, is something wrong? Whatever those little daggers and darts that we throw so accurately, all in the name of I love you with the love of the Lord. Poop! That hurt. Why? Because we are responding from the pain and hurt that we are carrying because we are seeking not to resolve it. So what is the four-day principle? Bringing issues to closure within a reasonable amount of time maintains the health and strength of a relationship. This is also sometimes known as the Lazarus principle. How long was Lazarus allowed to lay in the grave? 3 days. On the fourth day, Jesus called him out and unraveled him. So also in our relationship, if ever there is an offense, if ever I am upset with you, you are upset with me, I am going to say to you, I am not going to allow for it to be in the tomb of my heart for more than 4 days. Because after that, it begins to really, really stink. You with me? Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So when we are brave enough to talk about the pain or the hurt that we have, then we are able to strengthen and restore our relationships. Now, here's what we have to be careful. You know, as we go through everyday life, as you're at work, as you connect with people, people say things to you, you know, sometimes, and depending on our emotional state at that present time or depending on what's happening in our lives, things can seem bigger or smaller than they really are. So there is a perception that we have to how people have treated us, or maybe how a friend said something, the tone, the timing, the intent, or whatever it is. So we need to assess all those things. And we don't need to be these kind of people. Every time that you say something, I want to let you know you offended me. I would suggest that most of the offenses and issues we have in our relationship, before we get cross, we need to take them to the cross. You with me? Can you say that? Before I get cross, I need to take it to the cross. 99% of the issues that we have relationally, if we put that principle in place, we don't allow it to lie dormant and dead in our hearts, and the first point is we take it to the cross, say, Lord, you know, I'm really hurt that Aaron said this to me. You know, I'm really feeling upset about it, but help me to forgive him. I'm going to choose to let it go because I value Aaron and who he is and how God has made him much more than the fact that he did not invite me round for dinner when he invited everybody else. Never mind, I never got the text that Aaron sent me because my credit was low, but Aaron did not invite me for dinner and everybody else was there. Unforgivable. One day, Aaron goes down your list. 2 days. 3 days. Now, when you see Aaron, you're really ticked off. But here, if I have this principle in my life, I pick up the phone and say, hey, Aaron, how you doing? I don't talk about the missed dinner. Because what I do is I invite him around to my place, say, let's have lunch together. Because Aaron is more important than that missed biryani dinner. You with me? But have you not found yourself in friendships where little things like this can destroy healthy, good relationships? All right? So Proverbs 28:13, I'll just say that again. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. James 3:17-18, it's very interesting. It says, But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So what is my commitment in this four-day principle? I will not allow any problem I have with you to go unresolved for more than 4 days. If within that length of time I have not come to peace about it in my own heart, I will communicate this with you. So it's allowing us to go through our emotions. It's allowing us to beat ourselves up a little bit if necessary, if we don't go straight away to the cross. It's allowing for us to, you know, allow us to go through the emotional issues that we're feeling about that situation. But also saying, if in 3 days I have not resolved that, I am going to pick up the phone because it is still affecting me. And because our relationship is so important, and because if I hold on to this offense, I will not be able to relate to Aaron properly. I will find time and space to have coffee with him and say, Aaron, what happened about that dinner? I'm really, really upset. Dinner? I invited you. Here's the flow of my text. Ian. Oh, Aaron, I still love you. We can resolve. How many of you have known times when you've had these little issues that have come up that have become bigger than they really are? But when we apply this principle, it goes here. So what's the question? How long have you been troubled about this problem? 3 to 4 days, it's still worrying you? Pick up the phone. Speak to the person. Confront them in love and work it out. The third principle is the first word principle. Jesus instructed us to go to any offending brother, and the word that follows it is privately. Go to any offending brother privately. When we obey Jesus' commands, we are able to reconcile with one another much more easily than if we had revealed the problems to others before speaking to him. How many have been victims of gossip? You and Mr. A fall out, and before you know it, Mr. A has texted A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, W, P, L, everybody about the problem you just had. And Mr. Z forwards you the text that Mr. A sent about you. You know what I'm talking about? Please pray. I'm praying that you solve this problem out. I've been actually fasting for you ever since I heard about it. And you're thinking, whoa, where did that come from? So before I talk to anybody else about the issue that Aaron and I have had, the Bible says, go first to your brother and speak to him in private. Aaron, I'm upset you didn't invite me for dinner. It really, really, it hurts me. I just love the way Ruth Ann cooks that biryani. You cannot exclude me from such kind of events if we are the best of friends. Do you understand that? Aaron says, never mind. Matthew 18:15 says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. So often we tell everybody else and we lose our brother or sister. What is the commitment? You will be the first person to hear about any problem I have with you. That means if somebody else says, have you heard Aaron is upset with Ian, or Ian is upset with Aaron, I'll say, as far as I know, if I was, I would have spoken to him myself. Are you with me? So the question we ask here is, have you spoken to anyone else about this offense? And I will not, because if I'm offended with Aaron, I will talk to Aaron first. Are you with me? So as we deal with it privately and we resolve the issues that we have. How many of you are getting something from this? Yeah, isn't this so simple? Simple biblical principles. Now, what's interesting was this is the first word principle. I really love this, the last word principle. And this is so key and it's so powerful. We believe God's word. We should also believe the words of our friends. If we respect the words we hear from each other, we do not need constant assurances of the well-being of our relationship. we can be confident that all is well because we have not been told otherwise. So what is the application of this? It means that if I have friendship with somebody and I met them on Monday, and when I met them on Monday, everything was okay. And all of a sudden on Thursday, somebody calls me up and says, "Have you heard? Aaron is really upset about you." I'm going to say, "I'm sorry. The last word principle, when I was last with Aaron, everything was okay." And because Aaron and I have an understanding of the first word principle, if there was something between us, by Thursday, Aaron would have called me up and told me. And because he hasn't, you are lying. Powerful, isn't it? How often have relationships been destroyed because some niggly, piggly, wiggly person overheard something, misunderstood a comment, brings it around and passes it around like stale bread, and people eat it and say, "Oh, kya aisa bola kya? Kaisa wo log worship leader hai itna?" Come on, we've been victims. It destroys families. It destroys churches. It destroys workplace atmospheres. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. So often, I have refused to listen what somebody else tells me about another friend of mine. I said, "You know what? If he's got a problem, we have this understanding. He will tell me about it. If he has not told me about it, it's not a problem for him. And until he does, it's not a problem for us." You with me? It's so powerful. So the commitment is this: I will believe and act upon the last word we spoke concerning our relationship and live as if you will do the same. So it's a commitment that we make. If anything changes on my part, I will inform you, and vice versa. So what's the question we ask? Did you forget or disregard what we last spoke to one another concerning our relationship? You see, as we look at these five principles, these cannot work unless two people agree on them. You with me? So I cannot impose these principles upon you. You get it? These principles come out of us saying, this is how we want to have healthy and strong relationships. And so we in our relationship will uphold this form of communication and principle in our relationships so as we can safeguard our relationship, whatever it takes to do that. You with me? So I cannot impose the first word principle on you if you haven't agreed to it, because it'll backfire. Neither can I impose the last word principle. The fifth one is the friendship principle. God is the only one who knows what's in a man's heart. One should not expect that a friend can discern what is happening on the inside of him. Therefore, the need to be understood is met with friends communicating one with another. In other words, I am not a mind reader. Yes, I can pick up emotional stresses. We can pick up someone's not looking happy or sad. But if in my friendship I am going to be honest, open, and truthful about our relationship, then I will communicate things to you so you can know about it and you can help me. You with me? Because I can't expect you to buzz my brain and read my mind and translate my emotions and decode my face and my body language. Oh, so that's what's wrong with you. You know, if you walk it all, and 5 minutes later, it's tears are welling up because nobody has taken a moment to find how you're doing. Nobody loves me. If you're feeling sad in my friendship, you come and tell me, "You know what, Ian, I'm having a really bad day today. Can we work this out together?" Rather than standing aside and hoping that you can tell what's happening in my brain. You with me? So a friend loves at all time, a brother is born for adversity. I will befriend you by being honest. I will not expect you to interpret my actions or recognize the condition of my heart, it is my responsibility to approach you if I need help. You with me? So if I'm feeling really upset about something, if I'm having a really bad day, I can't expect you at the other side of Mumbai to know how bad I'm feeling if I haven't communicated that to you. And then send a text, why haven't you called me yet? Hello, just say, call me, I need to talk. But sometimes we have these false expectations in our relationships. It's like husband and wife come home, they've one's had a bad day, the other's had a great day, and you know, all of a sudden pots and pans are being bashed around louder than they normally are. You know, the doors slam a little bit harder than they usually are. And you know, if husbands, if they're trained well, you know, and they've been on a good marriage course, they pick up those signs. But if they don't, it's like, what's wrong with my wife? I'm going out to play with the boys. Well, those are signs. But the wife can't keep banging doors and clanging pots and pans the next 3 days if she doesn't come say, honey, we need to talk. I had a really bad day at work today, and that's why I'm banging the doors and clanging the pan. Can we talk about it? You with me? That just frees up that relationship to deal with the unresolved conflict. So also in our friendships, you're in a group, you go out for a movie, you normally would share popcorn with whoever, and all of a sudden, plonk, that person's next to you, and you're really upset with him because you've got something unresolved. That popcorn bag ain't going anywhere next to him. It goes all the way to the left, over past him to the right, but not to him. Come on, you've been there, haven't you? You've done that. You're not having my sweet and salty popcorn because we haven't resolved this yet. Don't we do those crazy things, you know? And so we need to come to this place where I will be honest with you about how I'm feeling, what the condition of my heart is. So in our relationship, we can work it through the difficult moments. The testing of any relationship, any friendship, is best seen in a crisis. I challenge you in our relationships in this church, and as we continue to grow and as new people are added in, if we uphold these principles, we will put under our relationships and friendships foundations that will enable us to build strong, healthy friendships and families. You with me? So there is never any opportunity for offense to be resident in our relationships, because offense will come, disappointments will come, mistrust will be there. But it's the testing times, the critical times, when you know, it's really, really difficult. When we come through these difficult times, we establish good relationships. So the question here is this: are you offended that I did not recognize that you were troubled? How many of you have sometimes wanted somebody's attention, but they haven't given it to you, and you've walked away upset that they did not meet your need? Come on, tell me. We've all done that. You know, and then 2 days later, we're still upset with the poor guy, and he's thinking, hello, what's happened to him? Why is he upset with me? And let me tell you, guys, it's not just women who behave like this, all right? Even us guys are terrible. And you know, you try and be very macho and sweep it under the carpet kind of thing, but you don't want to be walking over mountains and hills in your relationships. You want a smooth surface to communicate and to live your lives. So in dealing with conflict, it enables us to move forward. So let's go over these five principles again. Have you learned something today? All right? So what's the foundation for these principles? It's this, is that we need to agree together that we will uphold and strengthen our relationships by committing to these agreements. That's all. Okay? So the first thing is the faithfulness principle. What is the faithfulness principle? Is that our relationship is more important than the problem. And we'll do whatever it takes to resolve the problem to safeguard the relationship. The second is the four-day principle. What does that say? It says, within 4 days, if there is any unresolved matter in my heart concerning you, I will deal with it. If I can't deal with it by myself, I will deal with it with you within 4 days. The third principle is the first word principle. You will be the first to hear of any issue that I have with you. You will not hear it to Tom, Dick, or Harry, Ram, Krishna, or Sita. You will hear it from me. You with me? You will not find it on Facebook. You will not find it in a loose text flying around or something like that, but you will hear it from me. So if it hasn't come from me, there is no problem between you and me. You with me? Then it's the final word principle. Where, when I last met you, when I last spoke to you, the condition of our relationship then is what the condition of our relationship is now. We have friends all over the world where we met them a month ago, 6 months ago, 9 months ago. And when we connect again, it's like, you know, you've got friends. And if anyone was to say anything about them in between that time, I will pick up the phone, get on the Skype and say, hey, I heard this is what so-and-so is saying about you. Is it true? And get rid of any doubt that is there. And the last thing is the friendship principle, that you cannot interpret the condition of my heart. I cannot expect you to understand what's going on in my brain. If I need to communicate something to you, I will take the initiative to let you know I'm upset, I'm sad, I'm not happy, I'm hungry, I want biryani, I want to eat Ruth Ann's biryani, therefore make sure you invite me around. You with me? I communicate that so there is no misunderstanding at all. Is this helpful, practical? Yeah. You know, these principles, you firstly, as husband and wife, Naomi and I, we have this in our relationship at home with our children. We have this in our friendships all over the world. We have maintained these relationships, and we have seen how much they have strengthened. Because what this does is bring security. It takes away the threat to any relationship, and it builds a firm foundation of security. Five biblical principles to help you to have healthy and strong relationships. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are the master of all friendships. And you love to relate to us. But also you have placed us to be in relationship with other people. Lord, I pray today if there is any offense in any of our hearts, if there is any misunderstanding, mistrust that has entered into our lives, Lord, I ask as we take communion today, we will seek to forgive those that have offended us, that we will seek to let go of the hurt or offense in our hearts and in our spirit. And we will seek to just simply take these five simple principles and agree in our friendships to flesh them out in 2013 and the years ahead. Lord, I pray within New Life Church Andheri, people would find established, strong, healthy relationships. And Lord, all the strain and the stress and the insecurities of poor relationships will be taken away as we live by these godly principles. In Jesus' name, we ask you to come and to help us by your Holy Spirit to come through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like you